Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, a new study says happiness peaks at the age of 70.
Tony Kornheiser, no wonder I'm so miserable. That was 25 years ago. I'm so far past my peak of happiness, Mike.
If a study has to tell you you're not happy, my advice would be to ignore the damn study. All these studies are stupid, driven by marketing executives, and need to be ignored, period.
All studies are stupid?
All of them.
All studies? Really?
Waste of time.
No.
Yeah.
I should have gone to school.
Watch Law and Order reruns and live your life. That's all you need.
Social studies are stupid? I was good at that.
Yeah.
I got A's. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Shohei has elbow surgery, Micah Parsons practices as a tight end, and Lazio's goalkeeper does something very rare in soccer. But we begin today with your Bears, Wilbon. Justin Fields said today that his play has been too robotic and that he needs to think less and just play football. When asked what's causing him to overthink, he said, quote, you know, it could be coaching, I think, unquote. Though he later said in the media availability in the locker room that he does not blame the coaching and that he needs to play better. Head coach Matt Eberflus said he wants Fields to play freely and speak freely to coaches. So, Wilbon, what do you make of what Fields said?
Tony, I put what Fields says way after I put the actions of the last two Sundays, which I watched closely, one of them in person, with former Bears, with some Hall of Famers. Fields is not playing well and has got a whole lot of improvement to go and don't know if he can make those improvements as a professional quarterback. Missing receivers down the field, sometimes open for touchdowns. I'm sitting there while this happened against Green Bay. The coaching staff is inadequate once again because they're not putting Fields in positions where he feels comfortable and is doing the things using the skill set he has to succeed. Yet another coaching staff, the Bears have failed miserably, the owner, to identify the best coaching and the right coaches to be successful with various players and quarterbacks. So Fields is part of the problem. So is Eberflus. And Tony, there's a reason why the Bears haven't had an all-pro quarterback in 100 years, because they get it wrong. I hope they put this kid in a position where he can succeed. I hope he's good enough with making improvements where he can succeed. There's plenty of blame to throw around, to spread around, and I don't care really what Fields said. I want to see what he does Sunday against Kansas City.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to the timeline in this because earlier today, I don't know, maybe around 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, somewhere around that, I was sent clips of Fields talking earlier today. And he very distinctly said in one of them that he would blame the coaching. He said a number of other things, too. He said a few times, look, I've got to go out there and play free like I've done my whole life. So I think what happened here, Mike, was that there was a little bit of a pushback internally in the city of Chicago. And Justin Fields heard about this and said, whoa, wait a second. Let me get back out there. Let me modify what I said before. And let me make sure that nobody takes this the wrong way. And what that reminded me of was Zach Wilson last year with the Jets, when he had this terrible offensive game and the defensive guys were saying, help us out a little bit here. And Wilson was asked, is any of this your fault? And he said, no. And he got crushed the next day, got crushed in the New York papers for being tone deaf and for not taking responsibility. I think somebody probably got in Justin Fields' ear. I think the important thing here is that there's a slight disconnect between the coaching staff and between the quarterback. And this is the quarterback they picked for the long term. They had the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
They traded it to Carolina. They said, we want Justin Fields. And that's fine. That's good. They could have had anybody they want. They want him. So now I think there's a little bit of, you know, back and fill here to make sure that it doesn't look like the Bears, who were maybe in some disarray with the defensive coordinator quitting are in real disarray, right?
Well,
that makes sense?
I don't know about disarray yet, but I'm very concerned about the quarterback play. And there's every reason to be concerned about it. But the coaches have to help the damn quarterback, and they're not doing that. And they didn't do it with the last coach. And I told you day one, that coach was a failure, and now he's screwing around with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City because he's back there as Andy Reid's guy, which is insane to me. So, again, Tony, with the Bears and quarterback and offense, there's plenty of blame to spread around for the last 110 years. And this is not a new theme in Chicago, sadly. So let's move to Micah Parsons, the best defensive player in the NFL and the face of the Cowboys. Parsons was asked on the Pat McAfee show yesterday if he has any desire to play offense. Referring to Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy, Parsons said, quote, "Big Mike actually let me get a couple of scout team reps at tight end. He might not let you know that. I probably shouldn't have spilled the tea," close quote. Parsons playing offense in a game, Tony, would you be supportive of that? Would it surprise you?
We've seen this. You and I have watched this together. We watched the fridge on offense. We watched J.J. Watt on offense. We watched Mike Vrabel on offense. These are big guys, defensive players put in a very specific situation, usually right around the goal line, and often with wonderful results of a touchdown. We have watched the tackle-eligible play for 100 years. It's a play that everybody likes. Would I put this guy, Micah Parsons, on offense? Sure, in a very specific situation. What I would not do is put him out there for an entire drive. And the reason I wouldn't do that is because he's not a two-way player. He's not Travis Hunter. Do I have that name right? I think I do.
Travis Hunter.
He's not Travis Hunter, who's not going to be playing for Deion this week or for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And why? Because defensive players like Micah Parsons are out there waiting to rip your head off. Okay?
Yeah.
Defensive players initiate the contact, and offensive players receive the contact. So I'm not going to put Micah Parsons out there for an extended period of time so he can get hurt. I'm not going to do it. No, specific
situation. Totally agree with you. He's a game wrecker on defense. He's the closest thing the game has to Lawrence Taylor. Have that and you got the Cowboys defense, I might put him out there for a specialty play. I mean, players who are this great, Tony, and this physically gifted, they probably get bored and he wants to do a little something else. And I might design a play that might satisfy him and make him smile in practice. I might try to appease him that way. And then I go to him and I say, Micah, you're too valuable, son. We need you out there wrecking opposing offenses. That's what you do. That's going to get us to a Super Bowl. So you're going to have to live with the limits of that mostly.
This is exactly how I feel, because I feel other defensive players who have watched Micah Parsons wreck their teams. If they saw him out there going across the middle, do you remember all that stuff where he got jacked up? Well, he would get jacked up. And he's too good.
I'd make sure I did it. Jack him up to get him out of there.
That's the point. Can't have it. Can't risk it. Let's move now to the news that Shohei Ohtani had elbow surgery that is not being explicitly described as Tommy John, creating hope that the injury was not as serious as feared. The surgeon said, I'm quoting here, "I expect full recovery. He'll be ready to hit without any restrictions come opening day of 2024 and both hit and pitch come 2025, unquote. Well, but Ohtani's just weeks away from free agency. How should teams value his pitching future in light of what the doctors said?
Well, Tony, I'm sure there's at least one team and probably more than that that will value his pitching future. If I ran a team, I wouldn't value it at all. I mean, available in 25, maybe, okay. But, Tony, as great as Ohtani is, and it's easy to argue Ohtani is the best and most talented player out there today and maybe in many decades, he doesn't get his team to the playoffs. He can't impact the game that way. Now, I'm paying on performance. I know there are other factors out there in the marketing. People would tell you how valuable Ohtani is. My value on Ohtani, if I own the team, is, son, are you playing in October? Because if you can't get me to October, and by the way, it's not on him, it's on the whole team. But if I got to pay a whole team, I ain't giving him $500 million to play one way. Because right now, as great as he is, he can't get you to October. Even when he's playing with Mike Trout as a tag team, they can't get you to October. So, no, I, as an owner, am not doing that, Tony. I'd look at him and applaud and love him and love when he filled my ballpark, but I'm not paying off on that.
So of all the sports that you and I watch for a living, baseball is the hardest for one person to have that kind of impact.
Yes.
Basketball is the easiest. And maybe you could make the case for a quarterback or a goalie or something like that. But baseball,
the NHL has occasionally a player,
Yeah. So there are two things that you I think you have to say. And one is that I think the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to be all in whether he can pitch or not. I think they see him as a 50-home run, 120 RBI guy, and differently from Kyle Schwarber, he gets a lot more hits. He's on base even more than Kyle Schwarber. And so I think that they would pay him for that. Though, to be fair, if he's not going to pitch, if you're worried that he's not going to pitch, I would think that would reduce the number by about $200 million, honestly, the way he has pitched.
Yeah, it would for me.
And the second thing I would say, is this is the doctor saying he's ready in 2025. It's not his agent. It's the doctor. That might make me a lot more optimistic, Mike, that he's going to play and might get me back into the bidding. Mike,
but Tony, you're going to pay $200 million on a Mike? I'm not. And I understand, Tony, you're right. There are owners and executives who will. I wouldn't be one of them.
He's been a great pitcher so far. Let's take a break. Coming up, what did 7 no-hit innings do for Blake Snell's National League Cy Young bid?
And what's the word for the goal scored by Lazio's keeper?
You know, I find myself rooting. I root for Ohtani. I do.
I want him to do well.
This is the second operation on the same spot, though, so I fear. I have apprehension because it's the second one.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time to blank, Wilbon, and what's the word? Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Last night's 7 no-hit innings make Blake Snell's NL Cy Young case blank.
My word is better. Not airtight, but better. Okay, there's three people, it seems to me, in this race, right? There's Blake Snell in this race in Chicago. There's Justin Steele. How can you have a city with Justin Fields and Justin Steele and not get confused? And the Braves, Spencer Strider, are all in it. So Steele has more wins than Snell. He's 16-4 at the moment, and I think he goes tonight. So we'll see what he does tonight. Strider has the most wins, 18, and the most strikeouts, 270. Snell has 14 wins at the moment, but the best ERA. 2.33, and he's got 220 strikeouts and 174 innings. You know, he's also got the most walks in the league, Mike. You got to go back to 1959, an early win for the last Cy Young guy who had the most walks in the league. My point is that we don't know yet. Nobody is locked up in this thing yet. We got to wait for all the precincts to have their returns in. 7 no-hit innings is a big deal, and it helps you, but he never goes more than 7, Mike. Never.
Well, that's why Blake Snell's side case is now iffy. It's still iffy. And I got a horse in this race, and I'll just go back to Steele, whose ERA is like 2.7. So there's a tiny little bit of difference between their ERAs. The Cubs have sort of cratered recently by losing 8 out of 10. But Steele's on maybe the most disappointing team in baseball. If it's not the White Sox, who are the most disappointing team, I guess, overall, come on.
No, Snell is, not Steele. Snell is on the most disappointing.
Snell's on the most disappointing team. Yeah. My team has been disappointing the last 2 weeks. But Snell, what? I mean, I know it's not his fault specifically, but I tie these things to team achievement. And so, sorry, right now, Tony, Snell is behind Steele for me.
So I would say, you know, the most disappointing teams would be the Padres and the Mets. I'm certainly the Mets are in there.
Okay, what's Padres, that? Mets, White Sox. Yeah.
Those Lazio's goalkeeper scoring the tying goal on the last touch of a Champions League match was blank.
Was fantastic. He's a goalie. What is he doing out there doing this? Plus, he's dressed all in yellow. So it's not like you can't see him. He's all over the screen all the time. He's down at that end of the field because there aren't many seconds to go in this game, and they don't figure they're going to get burned by another goal. They're already down 1-0. What do you care if it's 2-0? Watch what he does. He gets this in the goal like he's been doing it his whole life. It's just fabulous to see. He's only the fourth goalie in Champions League history to ever get a goal, and only the second to not get it on a penalty kick. So, because everybody's moving, and I think the Sharpies call that, let me get the phrase right, the run of play. It's very cool. And it's fantastic.
Tony, because he's looking like a 6'4" Tweety Bird out there in this yellow, I mean, you can see him coming from a mile away. And he's like 8 inches taller at least than anybody else on the field. I mean, this is not an NBA game. This is a soccer game. And I guess the average height is probably like 5'8 or 5'9". And you got this guy out there. When you see him, teammates mob him, he looks like they're mobbing Kareem. He's so tall. And the movement. And he's so authoritative in his movement into that spot. And then to get to the ball. My word is bodacious. I mean, it looked like he was saying, yeah, I got this. And you're like, my God, how often do they practice this, you know, in a whole season, that this guy at this size to take this particular pass and score in that way? Just bodacious. It's very cool to see. Yeah. And unlikely.
And you can't really be
could
a two-way player.
Word if we were choosing two.
Can't be a two-way player in soccer because you're already a two-way player. You're out there all the time. It's not like he's going to come out of the goal and play another position. That's the final word. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Lionel Messi is expected to return to the field for Inter Miami.
And Dion, there's only one Dion, has reportedly filed for 4 trademarks. We'll tell you what they are. Not Dionne Warwick.
Thank God we got Dionne on
Warwick
the show.
Dionne Warwick filed for trademarks, but it's
we were getting
Dionne
to the point
Warwick.
Where Deion Sanders wasn't going to be in the show. We can't have that. He's got to be in the show.
Well, he's in
it trademarks.
Now.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Happy time, people. Happy 33rd birthday. John Tavares, Toronto's captain, had the third most goals, 36, and fourth most points, 80, on the Maple Leafs last season. Tavares caused quite a stir in 2018 when he left the Islanders for the Leafs as a free agent. Tavares was the Islanders' fifth all-time scorer, behind Brian Trottier, Mike Bossy, Dennis Potvin, and Clark Gillies, all Hall of Famers. In his first game back, Islanders fans threw rubber snakes onto the ice. But Tavares was born and raised in the Toronto suburbs. He was a Leafs fan his whole life. This past season, Tavares helped the Leafs win their first playoff series in 19 years, Mike, beating Tampa Bay in the first round.
Tony, I got it at the time. I mean, great, the Islanders, I know they got tradition. I know that was your team at one point. The Islanders are about the 10th most important professional team in metropolitan New York. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they might have gotten surpassed by the Raptors for about a minute when the Raptors won the championship. But it's the Maple Leafs, people. Seriously, get
it. That's right. Happy anniversary, Aaron Judge. On this day last year, the Yankee slugger hit his 60th home run, tying him with the greatest Yankee of all time, Babe Ruth. Judge would go on to hit 62 homers, leaving Roger Maris and Ruth behind. It's the most home runs ever in the American League, and many would say the most home runs ever without performance-enhancing drugs. Judge was the AL MVP, almost won the Triple Crown, falling 5 points behind Luis Arraez, then with Minnesota in the batting race. Last December, Judge signed a 9-year, $360 million contract with the Yankees, and he was named captain of the team. Injuries have limited Judge to just 96 games this year. He's batting .257, but he's got 32 home runs, which is a 53-homer pace in a full season.
Yeah, I'm sure the analytics people really love the pace. Care about the pace? 96 is the key thing, 96 games. How can you keep Aaron Judge? Can you keep him healthier? And he and Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, there's just too many missed games for guys that big and strong and impactful. They have had in their lives impact, not this summer.
96 games reminds me of 96 Tears by Question Mark and the Mysterians. Happy trails to a home run for Tyler Stevenson. The Reds catcher saw his two-run home run ball brought back inside the park last night as Minnesota center fielder Willie Castro went above the 8-foot fence to catch the ball. The notable fact here was just as Stevenson was about to hit, Castro took out the laminated card that fielders carry to get ready defensively for him. Castro didn't have time to put it back in his pocket or his hat, so he carried the card in his right hand as he made the catch. Castro also made a sliding catch to rob Stevenson of a big hit. Reds manager David Bell said Castro saved the Twins 4 runs in their 7-0 win. Oh, and Castro also hit a homer, so that's a pretty good night.
Those are great catches, Tony. Those are great plays, game-changing, saving plays. But the again, we go back to analytics. Really? You got to have a card now to figure out. You think Willie Mays needed a card? Did your hero need a card? You think Roberto Clemente needed a card? Somebody telling them where to place? Are you serious with this?
So
that's what we're doing now?
I guess I saw that for the first time 2 or 3 years ago, and I wondered what it was, and I found out. I thought people were going to do card tricks in the outfield. I mean, it just strikes me as so insane, right?
It's just ruined baseball.
I mean, you're taking out
it's
a
insane.
Card.
Ruined
I mean, come it.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The Liberty and the Wings both advanced in the WNBA playoffs. Your thoughts?
I watched a lot of that stuff. The Mystics should have won. That series should be extended. The Mystics couldn't make a play down the stretch. That series with the Liberty should still be going on. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson didn't practice today. Still in concussion protocol. Your thoughts?
I guess Gardner Minshew would get the start. Look, he's big and he's strong. He's a great athlete, but you can't run all the time. You get hurt. Dion has reportedly filed for 4 trademarks. Coach Prime, Prime Effect, Daddy Buck, and this is great. It's personal. I know you love this.
I do, all except for Daddy Buck.
What's that?
I'm not even sure Daddy I want to hear the explanation. Brad Marchand is the 27th captain of the Boston Bruins. Is he a good choice?
He licks people. I mean, come on now. Licks people. Last one, Lionel Messi expected to play tonight versus Toronto. I'll bet you're excited.
No, it's unknown if he's going to start or come off the bench. He missed the last game with muscular fatigue.
He's wearing pink, though. He looks great in pink.
Don't know what
looks great in pink. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Let me get my flag here. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Now, here's SportsCenter.
Just remember what...
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus!
Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.